The Upper Berth by F. Marion Crawford. Chapter 1. The Mystery of Cabin 105. We were all tired after a long dinner one evening, but nobody wanted to go home. Then somebody shouted,
"Bring the cigars!"
It was Brisbane, a big, strong man. Everybody turned to look at him. Lighting his cigar, he said,
"It's strange, you know."
We all stopped talking.
"It's strange,"
he said again.
"People are always asking if anyone's seen a ghost. Well, I have."
Somebody said,
"Tell us the story, Brisbane."
We lit our cigars, ordered another bottle of champagne, and listened to his story.
"When I used to travel to America, I liked to sail on certain ships. The Kamchatka used to be my favourite. It isn't my favourite now, and I never want to travel on it again. I remember it was a warm morning in June. When I went on board, I told the steward the number of my cabin, 105. He nearly dropped my suitcase. 'Well, God help you,' he said quietly. I thought he might be drunk, but I said nothing and followed him. Cabin 105 was a large room with two berths with curtains around them. Mine was the lower one. That morning the cabin seemed empty and depressing, and I didn't like it. I gave the steward some money, and he thanked me. 'I'll try to make you comfortable,' he said, and then added quietly, 'if that's possible in this cabin.' I was surprised, but again I thought he was drunk. I was wrong. Our voyage began. On the first day, everything was normal. That night I was tired and went to my cabin early. I noticed another suitcase by the door and a walking stick and an umbrella in the berth above mine. I wasn't happy because I had wanted to be on my own. Who was my companion? I decided to stay awake and see. Later, I was lying in bed in the dark when he came in. He was tall, very thin and pale, with fair hair and a beard and grey eyes. He looked like the type of man who makes money on Wall Street or by gambling. I decided I didn't want to talk to him. 'If he gets up early, I'll get up late,' I said to myself before I went to sleep. During the night, a loud noise suddenly woke me up. It was the other man jumping out of bed. Then I heard him unlock the cabin door. He ran out very fast, leaving the door open. I heard his footsteps along the passage. I got up angrily to close the door and went back to sleep. When I woke up, it was still dark. The air was damp and I felt cold. There was a strange smell in the cabin, like old sea water. I could hear the other man moving in the berth above mine. 'So, he's come back,' I thought. Then he made a low sound of pain, and I thought he was feeling seasick. Then I fell asleep. When I woke up again, the cabin was still cold. Suddenly, I noticed that the window was open, so I got up and closed it. The curtains were closed around the other berth, so I thought the man was asleep. The smell of seawater had disappeared. At about 7 o'clock, I went for a walk around the ship, and I met the ship's doctor from Ireland, a young man with black hair, blue eyes, and a happy face. I said the weather was not very good. 'It was very cold last night,' I continued, 'but my window was open all night, and the room was damp.' 'Damp? Where is your cabin? It's cabin 105. The ship's doctor looked at me with big eyes. I asked what was the matter. Oh, nothing, he answered. Well, I'll tell you. Everybody has complained about that room on our last three trips. Good. And I'm going to complain too. But I believe there's something... No, I mustn't frighten you. Oh, you won't frighten me. If I get a bad cold, I'll come to you. We laughed, and I offered him a cigar. Then he asked me if I had a roommate. Yes, a strange man who runs out in the middle of the night and leaves the door open. The ship's doctor gave me a curious look. Did he come back? Yes, he was there when I woke up. Look, my cabin is big enough for four people. You can sleep there tonight. I was really surprised. Why was he so anxious about me? I thanked him and said my cabin was fine. There was nothing wrong with it. We doctors aren't superstitious, he said, but please don't sleep in 105. Come and stay in my cabin. But why? Because the last three people who slept there went overboard. I looked at him to see if he was joking, but he looked very serious. I said, I really don't think I'll be the fourth person to go overboard. I think you'll change your mind before we arrive in America, he said. After breakfast, I went to my cabin to get a book. The curtains around my roommate's berth were still closed, so I thought he was asleep. As I came out, I met the steward, who said the captain wanted to see me in his cabin. I want to ask you a favour, said the captain when I arrived. Your roommate has disappeared. Did you notice anything strange about him? Has he gone overboard? I asked, remembering the ship doctor's story. Yes, I think so. That's incredible. He's the fourth person. And I told him the story of cabin 105. I also told him what had happened to me in the night. That's the same story the other roommates told me, the captain said. Nobody saw the man last night. The steward found his berth empty this morning and looked for him, but he's disappeared. Please don't tell the other passengers. I don't want my ship to get a bad reputation for suicide. You can sleep in any cabin you like for the rest of the voyage. Is that all right? Thank you, Captain, but my cabin is empty now, so I'll stay there. The captain tried to change my mind, but I told him I was happy to have the room to myself. I asked him if the steward could remove my roommate's things and do something about the damp and the window. After I left the captain, I saw the ship's doctor and we played cards. I went to my room late.